It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it. Now, here are your hosts. Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. It's your host, Dima Mixon. It's just me today here on this great Friday afternoon. I hope everyone's day is doing well as you're listening to this. You know, got back from Sunbelt Media Day Tuesday night, and Jackson and I were like, I don't think we'll be going on Wednesday. So we ended up not going Wednesday. That's why you didn't see any coverage from us from Sunbelt Media Day on Wednesday. But we did get some stories out. I hope you read them on sm2media.com. You can go there right now if you haven't already, sm2media.com. Jackson put out a terrific piece on just his takeaways from Sunbelt Media Day 1, everything Southern Miss said. Had something about a zombie apocalypse. I don't know why that's in the story, but it's funny, and go read it. And then I did kind of a piece on why Will Hall kind of embraced his tough schedule. He talked about how a tough schedule brings great opportunity for the Southern Miss program this season. And you know, you kind of agree with that, right? I mean, if you look at the schedule just in just on paper, and you feel like if Southern Miss could, you know, you forget the non-conference games with Florida State, right? Even though I feel like potentially Southern Miss could maybe even beat State this year. If you take those two games out and you look at the games they should be favored in, I mean, you should be favored in all practically every home game outside of maybe not Troy. So if you feel like you win all those at South, at App State, and at Louisiana, if you feel like you can get one or two of those, you know, you feel like you're in a good position to contend for the Sun Belt West. So really, really interesting piece that I put out. So go check that out on sm2media.com as well. You can go to our YouTube page, or you might be watching this on our YouTube page, and you can go look at our instant reactions and see everything Jackson and I had to think instantly after Sunbelt Media Day 1, and then you can go on there with an exclusive interview with Will Hall and players. So that was kind of all of our coverage from New Orleans this week, but I wanted to get on today because we have a special guest on the show, and we're going to bring him on in just a few minutes. We have the great Phil Steele on today on 4th Street Sports Show. On 4th Street Sports Show, we have Phil Steele. What an unbelievable honor to have, you know, one of the greatest minds in college football in general coming on the show. You know, you'll hear in the interview that I have, he comes out with the College Football Preview magazine. And I have 10 of them sitting right next to me in my bookshelf, right next to my desk. And that's what I was telling them. I was like, I have 10 of them sitting right here because I've been reading this magazine ever since 2014. He gives Southern Miss the exact same preview as any other team, right? So Ohio State, Alabama, USC, Georgia, Michigan, whoever it is, all the premier elite programs in college football, he gives them two pages, and he gives Southern Miss two pages of just absolute awesome stats. I use it. Jackson uses it. I'm sure that everybody knows who he is, so I don't feel like I need to really introduce him that much. We have him for about 22 minutes. It's 22 minutes of just talking about Southern Miss football, Sunbelt football in general. You're not going to want to miss this interview. We'll be back on the other end of it to kind of talk about everything that was said in the interview. So for now, sit back, relax. If you're driving, I don't know, whatever you're doing, sit back, relax, enjoy this interview with the great Phil Steele. And back on 4th Street Sports Show with a very, very big guest. We have the great Phil Steele on the show, the writer and producer of the College Football Preview magazine. Phil, I think you've been doing it for like 29 years, right? I think that's older than I've even been alive.
Yeah, it's the 29th year of the magazine, and I don't want to make myself sound old. I started very young, so let's go that report. And yeah, 29th year, and the first year was back in 1995. It was 188 pages. It was black and white on newsprint, and I think it took us 7 years to get full color, but now it's the best-selling preseason college football magazine out there.
I'll tell you what, I'm sitting here in my my room, and I have 10 of them sitting right next to me, because I've been buying them since 2014, back when I was, you know, getting really into college football at a younger age. So it's definitely been the, definite preseason buy for me, getting prepared. So when or where and how can our listeners find this magazine if they haven't already?
I appreciate that, Dima. You know, the magazine in years past was available everywhere, you know, Walmarts, grocery stores, places like that. This year it's available exclusively at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So the only brick-and-mortar stores that you can go and get one, Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. So save your gas money. Just go to those two spots, or you can go online to philsteele.com. And when you go to philsteele.com, I'm going to charge you a shipping charge for the magazine, but I also give you the digital magazine for free. When you get the hard copy. And the digital magazine's updated all the way through September. As an example, the Northwestern head coach is David Braun, not Pat Fitzgerald, in the digital magazine. So Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or philsteele.com. And one other thing new this year, by the way, we have an FCS magazine with two full pages on every FCS team. So if you do like FCS football, there's 133 matchups, I think, between FCS and FBS this year. The two full pages on every FCS team is available also at philsteele.com.
That's awesome. I definitely have it, and I have it in front of me. I think I heard on a previous podcast you were on, you do something like 200 radio shows. And I was just curious, how many of those have you talked about Sunbelt football on?
Yeah, Sunbelt football overall, I'd say, maybe 10-15% of them. It's Southern Miss. This is the first targeted Southern Miss show that I've done. But I love talking. You know, I give the same coverage in the magazine to Southern Miss, to Sam Houston State, that we do to Alabama and Ohio State. Two full pages, basically everything you need to know about that team.
Definitely. Want to just touch on the Sun Belt. With the conference realignment going on, especially within the Big 12 and the AAC, we were just out at Sun Belt Media Day this past week, and it was a lot about how the Sun Belt is rising. Do you feel that they're kind of rising to put their statement and at the best group of five conference in America?
It's definitely getting there, no doubt about it. And I love the additions that the Sun Belt made, last year or the year before, bringing in teams like Marshall and Southern Miss. And, I remember a couple of years ago, teams were leaving the Sun Belt Conference to go to CUSA, thinking that was a step up. And now the Sun Belt Conference is clearly ahead of CUSA and those. And clearly, you look at the upsets that the Sun Belt has pulled in non-conference play, a lot of attention grabbers each and every year. So it's the Sun Belt's right there with the American Conference and the Mountain West. It'll be interesting to see which one of the group of five finishes first. But I can tell you that, 8 years ago, the Sun Belt would have been right at the bottom along with the MAC. Now, right now, they're contending for that top group of five spot.
I definitely agree. One thing I love about your magazine, Phil, is the preseason teams for each of the conferences. And I wanted to ask you about you have for first team running back for the Sun Belt, Rasheen Ali from Marshall and LaDamian Webb from South Alabama, and Frank Gore Jr.'s second team. So just curious on what your metrics were there for putting both those guys over Frank Gore Jr. From what he did last year.
Yeah, and, looking at it, it's probably a little surprising that that's the case to me right now. I know I personally set up the all-conference teams, but I don't do the I'm too busy in the final weeks of the magazine to actually finalize them. So I'm a little surprised Frank Gore is not up there at number one, that he's on the second team. So he's been, of course, the key part of the Southern Miss offense the last couple of years, not only playing running back, but playing quarterback. 1,300 yards rushing last year, a bowl game record, over 300 yards rushing in a bowl game. So, you know, there's a lot of quality talent there at the running back spot, but that actually surprised me. It's the first time I've looked at that.
Gotcha. Will Hall, you know, for Southern Miss, entering his third year, I really feel like this is definitely his best roster that he's had in his 3 years here at Southern Miss. I would assume you'd agree with that.
Yeah, and it's really not even close. If you go back to the first year, remember they lost their top five quarterbacks during the year, ended up playing 10 different guys at quarterback.
I remember.
They only had only had 62 scholarship players that first year. Now they're fully up to the 85, brought in a lot of transfers. This is clearly his best roster. My biggest question mark is quarterback, but let's face it, in the 2 years that Will Hall's been here, quarterback has been the big question, which is why Frank Gore has really been the most effective quarterback that Southern Miss has had. I think it is clearly by far his most talented roster. A little concerned with the schedule. It might be as tough a schedule that he's had to face in the 3 years. You look at the non-conference slate with Florida State, Tulane, and Mississippi State, but yes, this is the most talented team.
Yeah, I know the sentiment here in Hattiesburg has always been like, you know, well, last year Hall won 7 games without a quarterback, so you feel like he might could do a little bit better with a quarterback. You on your projected starting lineup, you put Holman Edwards as number one over Billy Wiles. Was that just kind of like you said with the computer data, or did you kind of put him on the top there?
No, I go over the team with each of the head coaches. This year I talked to 123 of the 133 head coaches out there. Spent about an hour with each head coach going over the team with them. Listen to everything they have to say. The projected starting lineups I do personally do. And so after listening to everything, and it's, you know, Coach Hall does feel it's the best quarterback room he's had here by far. He likes the toughness and the leadership of the group. I just opted to go with Edwards over Wiles. It was pretty tight, and I think that battle's still up in the air. They also have a guy like Zach Wilkie, who was forced into the lineup last year. Might be good to redshirt him. I personally might do that, you know, based on the fact that he was thrown into the fire last year, and maybe have him sit back a little and learn. But he's another capable candidate. You look at an Ethan Crawford, the true freshman. I think he's a dynamic runner. He could actually enter into it, I think any of those four guys would set up well, but after going through the roster and determining it, I just went with Edwards as a starter with the slight lean.
Yeah, I gotcha. And you know, when you turn over to the defensive side of the ball for Southern Miss, you even said it in the magazine, and I had this in my preview article as well, that Southern Miss boasts probably the best front seven in the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Dynamic up front. I mean, all four guys are back up front for the starters, if you include the Jack linebacker position. There, Jalen Williams is a guy that might just be the best defensive lineman in the SBC this year. He's an absolute force inside. I think he's an NFL guy. He's 6'3", 310 pounds. That's a great place to start. And, you know, he was my number 12 rated JUCO coming when he came out of JUCO as we were transferring from signed originally at Arkansas. I think he's great. And then you take a look at another Arkansas transfer. Eric Thomas coming in is nice. They've got Booth, Bivens, and Havas there. And last year, remember, when the season started, they looked to be in great shape at linebacker. But Maples goes down. He's out for the year in August. Bozeman goes down. He's out for the year after 4 games. And then all of a sudden they relied on depth. Well, both Maples and Bozeman are back this year to go along with some of the guys that gained experience last year. So I really like this defensive front seven.
Yeah, then in the secondary, feels like, you know, that's the defense's biggest question. But you have a guy like, you know, Michael Caraway Jr. Coming in, and then Dylan Lawrence, then obviously from Mississippi State, then Jay Stanley. What do you feel about the secondary?
Yeah, and you go back to last year, they finished number 62 in my past defense rankings, which was pretty good. They only have one starter back, so it's a little bit of a concern. I like bringing in Lawrence. You know, I like bringing in Daniels and Sabatini from Ole Miss. So there's some P5 talent coming in at that position. But it's probably my biggest question mark on the defense by far would be the secondary and the fact that only one starter is back. Granted, a really good one in Jay Stanley. I mean, he's a very physical guy, a tremendous hitter. He's got NFL potential. they're going to rely on these transfers to come in and have to step up right away. And, you know, I'm also expecting a bigger year out of Michael Carraway. The one thing I've learned from talking to all the head coaches, and I bounce this off them, and almost every head coach agrees when I throw it out there, is that with JUCO college or junior college players coming in, the first year is more like a learning year, and they get better as the year goes on. And the second year, it's a player you recruited. We might see that out of Michael Carraway this year. So as long as Carraway, Daniels, Sabatini, and Lawrence come in and do well, they could finish in the same area. But it's my biggest concern on the defense.
Yeah. Another thing that I was curious to hear your thoughts on, the offensive line should be it has a potential of being even better than last year. That paired with the duo of Frank Gore Jr., Chandler Pittman, Kenyon Clay, and the new guy they added in from Memphis, Drake Clark. How do you feel? Southern Miss just feels like they're just going to be running the ball on everybody.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense to do so. And talking to Coach Hall, going over the offensive line with him, he feels this is their best offensive line that they've had here. And I know last year they had four starters coming back, but this year four starters back, six of the top seven are back. And they've got a lot of guys that have at least earned starts at this level. They also had in Gabe Kavanaugh's coming in from Mississippi State is a nice addition. But all five of the starters have got at least five starts under their belt last year. So this is a veteran unit, the best unit that they've had since Hall's been here. And I'm looking forward to the running game. And if you have if you're strong at the line of scrimmage, like Southern Miss is on the offensive line, defensive line, you're pretty much set for a pretty good year.
Definitely. Want to talk about the schedule. You mentioned it earlier. It feels like, obviously, this is a better team roster-wise than Will Hall's had in any of his few years, but a very tough schedule going Alcorn State at home, at Florida State, Tulane, at Mississippi State, at South Alabama, who I feel is going to be tremendously good this year. Do you feel like that it might be a better team roster-wise, but the record might not reflect how good this team is?
Yeah, I think generally, if last year's team was 7-6 and they played the same schedule, this year's team would get 9, maybe 10 wins, I think, off of that. But playing the tougher schedule, as you mentioned, Florida State, Tulane, Mississippi State, three very tough non-conference opponents. They also have to face Louisiana on the road. Louisiana's a very tough home team. App State on the road, very tough home team. And of all the teams to pull out of the East this year, South Alabama is a very difficult one. I think South Alabama may just be the best team in the Sun Belt Conference this year. So the schedule is brutal. I don't know how much they could top last year's 7-win total if they do, but I don't think they'd get to that 9 or 10 win level against this type of schedule.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the Sun Belt as a whole. You mentioned South Alabama. One thing I really like about your magazine is your experience chart on the front end of the magazine. And you have South Alabama at number 4, which makes sense since they're returning 18 starters. Do you feel like South Alabama is potentially the best Sun Belt chance at a New York Six Bowl?
If they take care of their schedule, yes, definitely. Now, they've got four really tough tests this year. They have to play Tulane on the road. They play Oklahoma State on the road, James Madison on the road, and Troy on the road. So those are four really tough tests. But talent-wise, they are right there. And, when you look at their defensive line, that's been a strength since Coach Womack has got there. Offensive line, I remember going over the team the first year with Coach Womack on the O-line, and he had great concerns. And that unit was the weak link of the team. Well, now the offensive line is one of the strongest units of the team, which makes them very strong at the line of scrimmage. They've got Carter Bradley back at quarterback. They got LaDainian Webb from Florida State at running back. They got Lacey and Voisin at wide receiver. Plus, they had in from Memphis, Javon Ivory. Yam Banks is one of the best players in the Sun Belt Conference. James Miller there, and then Voisin also in the secondary. So this is a team that would be very capable of that. And they've got the schedule where if they can beat a Tulane, Oklahoma State, Troy, and James Madison all on the road, then they would be in really good shape to be that team.
You know, when you look at the Sun Belt West, you have South Alabama, Louisiana, Troy, Southern Miss, ULM. Really feels like it's one of the more tougher divisions the group of five, I would argue.
Yeah, I think the East I'm going to go with the East as the tougher conference, or tougher division. You take a look at their top six teams, I could make a case for Georgia State, Georgia Southern, James Madison, Coastal, Marshall, or App State being the winner of that particular division. The only one I don't throw in there is Old Dominion. But when I look at the West, you know, last year there was all kinds of question marks.
Yeah.
Louisiana was like the front runner of the West last year, and then you had six question marks coming into the season. Louisiana dropped off as expected, but what we've seen is the West is a much tougher division this year. I mean, South Alabama loaded Troy. They're actually going to have a little more potent offense last year. I'm going over the team with Coach Summerall. He mentioned that last year their offense wasn't that potent, and frankly, they didn't take a lot of chances. They had the defense. They had the special teams. They knew that punt was not a bad word, and they won their games that way. This year, they're going to have a little more potent offense. Louisiana, I think, is going to be back to more of the form they were. They had three straight double-digit win seasons prior to last year's unexpected 6-7 season. So Louisiana's back towards the top. Southern Miss, in my mind, is just a sleeping giant out there, because I remember how Southern Miss was at the Rock and how they played, and this is Hall's best team that he's put on the field. Butch Jones, it's his third year at Arkansas State. Generally, coaches hit their stride near three, and I think this is by far Butch Jones's best team that he's put on the field. Terry Bowden, it's his third year. Coaches hit their stride year three, and this is by far his best team, and you know they pulled some upsets. I think Jarrett Wright's going to surprise some folks this year at QB. And then even Texas State, I picked them at the bottom of the West, tied for the bottom of the West. But G.J. Kinney's brought in so many transfers. And last year he was in his first year at Incarnate Word, and all of a sudden Incarnate Word had a fantastic year. He's got the quarterbacks with Arkansas transfer Hornsby, with T.J. Finley at Auburn. So what I'm trying to basically say, Dean, is that last year I thought there was a massive gap between the East and the West.
Yeah.
Now those two are almost identical, and it's for the Sun Belt overall, the gap from the top to the bottom is really closed.
Definitely, and I feel like, you know, college football in general used to be kind of that way. You'd have these, you know, group of five conferences with, you know, the East for the Sun Belt, for example, being, you know, the more dominant division in the Sun Belt. And I really feel like, do you feel like NIL kind of affects these lower leagues to kind of even the playing field in these lower conferences?
Yeah, the transfer portal has definitely been a player. And what we've seen is, unfortunately for conferences like the Sun Belt, some of their top players get plucked by Power 5 teams. We saw that on numerous teams in the Sun Belt this year. But the transfer portal opens up, and we see a lot of teams that have like 40 new players every year. So it's sort of just a complete washing of the roster within just a short couple of years. And it allows teams, you know, like a Texas State, which you would normally look at as a complete rebuilding year, to maybe be competitive. Same thing with ULM and Arkansas State. The two teams that have struggled the last 2 years should be a lot more competitive. So it's definitely made it even the playing field, let's say it that way.
Yeah. And a 12-team playoff, you know, when it comes next year, feels like the Sun Belt or the AAC will have, I mean, obviously one of these group of five gets a team in each year. Feels like the Sun Belt's right there, could have a team in the playoff very soon.
Oh, I would think the first year the Sun Belt will have a team in there, provided the conference doesn't beat itself up and its winner comes out with four losses at the end of the year, because of sort of like the Pac-12 does. Pac-12 every year just sort of cannibalizes itself and they don't get a team in the playoff, but they've got a bunch of really good teams like this season. So as long as the Sun Belt doesn't do that, I think the Sun Belt champ is almost an automatic for the 12-team playoff, because the Sun Belt is thought of a lot higher in nationally than it was just 4 or 5 years ago.
Definitely agree. Two final questions for you. Number one, I want to talk about Mississippi State. Southern Miss gets them on the road before the Egg Bowl on Saturday, 11 a.m. kind of sleepy game. I kind of feel like that's a game that Will Hall could get his team up, kind of like their Super Bowl. And with the talent on the roster, how do you feel that – do you feel like Mississippi State might be on upset alert in Week 11?
You know, that's a great point you make. On PhilSteele.com, I'm going to have an article or a blog, I should say, in the month of August talking about sandwich games like that. And you talk about a massive sandwich game for Mississippi State. I mean, they just played Arkansas on the road, Auburn on the road, Kentucky at home, and a huge game in College Station. they've got the Egg Bowl in just a few short days, which is the game of their season at that point, and you're only playing Southern Miss. And as you mentioned, it'll be Southern Miss, a huge chance for them to step into the national scene and get one of those big Sun Belt upsets. So the situation greatly favors Southern Miss there, and I would give them a shot, especially, as I talked about, if you're strong at the line of scrimmage, your offensive line, defensive line, you can play with these Power 5 teams.
I definitely agree. What does Southern Miss have to do to win the league?
They're going to have to take care of this the tough schedule that they've been dealt with. That's going to be the key, I think, this year. You know, having to play teams like Louisiana, App State, South Alabama, all on the road, those are going to be three tough games. You're going to have to pull one or two upsets there for sure. The other games are all winnable. I've got them favored in all the rest of their games. So forget that non-conference schedule. I see them beating Texas State, Old Dominion. The South Alabama game, I have my dog. The App State game, I have my dog. And the Louisiana game, I have my dog. Other than that, I think they've got a great shot of winning all their games. So pull one or just one or perhaps two upsets, and they can win the division and get to that title game.
Phil, it was an honor to have you on the show. Like I said, I've been reading your magazine for a long time, so it's just kind of an honor just to be talking to you. But great work. Keep up the great work. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate that. I appreciate you having a stack of magazines next to you as well. You know, it keeps the things like that keep me going during the long 7 months that we put into the magazine, where I think back and how people appreciate the magazine. So thank you very much for that, Dima.
Yes, sir. Have a great day. Thanks for coming on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Okay, that was Phil Steele with the College Football Preview article. What an interview, right? I mean, touched on so many things. I think one of the greatest things he said was he quoted as saying Southern Miss is a sleeping giant. And you know, you feel like you agree with that, right? Like, I don't think that that's a ridiculous mantra to think of Southern Miss as. Southern Miss, one of the best, as you heard in the interview, the best roster Will Hall has. And one thing he said that I thought was interesting, if they played last year's schedule with this team's roster, they go 9-3. And a lot of people last year were saying Southern Miss could go 9-3. But if you think about this roster playing that schedule last year, I mean, they might could beat Miami. I mean, they were in the game, right? I mean, it wasn't like it was ridiculous that they could win that game. They definitely would have beaten Liberty. So I think, like, not even a question, they would have beaten Liberty. The road game at Troy, they were in that game till late. I think Georgia State would have looked different. They only lost by 3 to Coastal, so you feel like they could have potentially pulled that one out. And then the South Al game, you know, they lost by 7. South Alabama covered the spread, all that stuff. So, you know, you really feel like they could have gone 9-3. But with this schedule, he was saying he doesn't know if they could get to that 9-3 that 9-3 number, as you heard. So and I agree with that. I feel like it's going to be hard for Southern Miss to get to that 9-3, 10-2, 8-4, whatever it is. But what an honor to have Phil Steele on. I hope you enjoyed the interview. It really gave a lot of national context to Southern Miss football, because, you know, you hear it from me, Jackson, you hear it from other various writers around Southern Miss, but you heard from Phil Steele. This is like the first time he's talked specifically about Southern Miss football ever. I mean, this is not talked about in the national landscape of college football. And I think that as my text notifications go off, I think that, you know, when you look at it in for more in a national perspective, and somebody who's been doing this for 29 years, you see that, man, I mean, the Southern Miss, you know, he even said it. He remembers back to the days where Southern Miss was packing out the Rock. He remembers back to the days where Southern Miss was at the staple of college football. Could that be this year? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. It's not like it's unlikely. But obviously, they're going to have to win some get some upsets in this schedule just because it is so tough. But like I said on the show, I feel like they're going to be significantly improved even if the record doesn't show it. And I think that's all that Southern Miss fans want. Obviously, they want to start winning. They're tired of losing. But I really feel like you just don't want to get to a place where you're at back in 21, where he was rightly saying, you know, they didn't have a lot of scholarship guys on roster. Feels like just COVID kind of just put this program in a roller coaster. And you've seen the growth since then, and you hope that it can stay that way. in the 2022-3 season. It's 2023, not 2022, Dima. Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was an honor to do it. I hope that have a good weekend. And if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to put this on YouTube because we feel like it's that good. We feel like it's that good of a show to be put on our YouTube, the full show. So if you're watching this on YouTube, go to Apple Podcasts. You can find our podcast at 4th Street Sports Show. We do this a lot. We want you to listen. We want you to hit that subscribe button to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, hit subscribe to the YouTube channel. We come up with a lot of stuff on our YouTube channel. So go to leftsidesmtmedia.com. You'll see all of our stories there. Fall camp starts next Wednesday. Players report on Tuesday. Fall camp starts Wednesday. We will be there. We will be out there taking photos, videos, everything you need to know for Southern Miss fall camp starting next Wednesday on August 2nd, I believe. It's August 2nd is when it starts. So be looking for on Twitter, be looking for stuff on the website, on YouTube, on this podcast platform as we cover the quarterback battle, the C players that we haven't seen in a while, and it'll be fun. So hope you join us. Thanks for listening. Phil Steele, thank you for coming on the show. It was an honor once again to have you on the show. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll be back next week on 4th Street Sports Show. This is Dio Mixon signing off.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.